If you've returned to the smartphone market after your trusty older model of 3 years or so needed an upgrade, well, there's the first thing you might notice on first glance. One, the screens take up the whole phone now. And two, the prices take up a lot of your money.
Apple's flagship iPhone X will set you back a cool $1,000, and even more middle-of-the-road smartphones can still run upwards of around $500. So this got us wondering, just when did these things get so expensive and why?
And we want to hear from you, too, at 800-642-1234. How much are you willing to pay for a smartphone these days, and has that changed over time? Would you consider spending nearly $1,000 on a phone? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. David Pogue joins us now. He's a tech columnist for Yahoo Finance, and you may also recognize him from his appearances on PBS and CBS Sunday Morning. David, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
So, is it just me, or are smartphones getting more expensive these days?
Well, it's a little trickier than that. The high-end phones are getting more expensive. That doesn't mean that middle and cheap phones aren't also still available. But yes, the iPhone X and the Samsung Galaxy Note 8 cracked the $1,000 barrier, and the new models coming out next month take it way up into the $1,200, $1,300 territory.
And what's pushing the cost of these phones up? Is it features? Is it the new materials that's being used in the phones? What accounts for this?
The biggest correlation with the rising price is the rising screen size. Screens are a really expensive component of these things. And what the public keeps saying is, we want bigger, bigger, bigger screens. As you noted, they've eliminated the margins, the borders on these phones. So it is proportionally more expensive to make a big screen than a small screen. And so the prices are going up.
And it's so weird because for the longest time it was, we want smaller things. We want things that we can fit in our pocket. And now we want these huge phones. I mean, as someone who looks at technology, was this sort of a surprising trend to you when you started to see this happen?
Oh, it's so weird. Steve Jobs, who of course oversaw the beginning of the smartphone era with the original iPhone, fought and fought and fought to make this thing small. I mean, they pulled out every stop, every engineering trick to make the iPhone small. He would be horrified to see these giant phones that are coming out. But Samsung sought to compete with Apple with screen size. And so all these years, Samsung has offered a 5-inch model, a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They literally offer phones or phone tablets in every inch size there is. And Apple now has no option but to compete.
I'm also wondering, too, it seems like when I bought my first smartphone, I think I plunked down about $100 cash for it and I was good to go. Now I'm wondering, and that was me getting in the door, and I think for a lot of people, they're in the door with smartphones now. Is part of this that companies are trying to keep us on board? They know we're already hooked and we're probably not going back to the dumb phone anytime soon.
Well, here's one really important thing that has changed, and this is actually a tremendous win for you and other consumers. In the beginning, the phone cost $100 or $200, but that, of course, wasn't the total cost of the phone, which even in the early days was around $600. What Verizon or T-Mobile would do is they would bury the remaining $400 you owed them in the monthly price of the service. So they would hide the rest of the cost to make you think you got a $200 phone. The problem with that system was that once you had completely paid off the total price, guess what? They didn't drop your monthly fee. They didn't reduce it to just the service fee, which they should have. They kept collecting, which is really kind of sleazy. T-Mobile really broke that mold and said, that's ridiculous. From now on, we will tell you which part of your payment is the phone you still owe and which part is your service. And now, of course, Verizon and AT&T and everybody else has to follow that model. So that's why phones are $600, $700, $800. Because you're buying the phone outright.
Yeah, I remember getting that plan and having to pay for it in the monthly installment, and it was great just putting a little bit more down. But yeah, we were paying for it down the road. And because you brought up contracts, I want to ask you, it seems like we have been trained as consumers to think that, okay, my 2 years is up, it is time for a new phone. Does that model still exist? And is that two-year number still right from what you're hearing?
The two-year contract is gone. Again, I have no financial interest in T-Mobile, but T-Mobile also broke that deal. They also said, that's ridiculous. Why should we hold you hostage? If you don't like our service, you should leave whenever you want. So now everybody else follows that model too, Verizon, Sprint, AT&T. Nobody has two-year contracts anymore. What they have instead, though, for people who always want the latest, greatest phone, all of these companies will now offer you basically a rental program where you pay, well, for an iPhone 6S, 2 years old, it's $19 a month. For a brand new iPhone 8, the latest model, it's $35 a month. You can pay that continuously, and then when next year's model comes out, you just turn that phone in and keep on paying monthly. So you never have a big $1,000 or $800 bill to pay. And a lot of people actually like that. They know what they're getting, and they know they'll always have the latest.
We are talking right now with David Pogue. He's a tech columnist for Yahoo Finance, and we are talking about the seemingly high cost of smartphones and what we're getting for our money. And speaking of that, David, it seems to me that, you know, when I upgraded from an iPhone 4 to an iPhone 6, I was like, wow, I notice a big difference. I have a big screen. My camera takes pictures that doesn't look like they were taken with a potato. If I upgraded to an iPhone 8 now, is it harder to sort of sell consumers on the new phone when they may not see the same jump as what they used to?
Oh, completely. If there's one job I would not want to have, it's the people who have to think up next year's new phone features. Because, I mean, anytime there's a new invention, whether it's a phone or a car or a refrigerator, the first years of this thing show radical leaps forward in features and functions. I mean, for the first few years of the smartphone, they added voice control. They added, I mean, the first iPhone couldn't record video. You know, they've made huge leaps forward. But now, I mean, here we are 10 years into the iPhone world, and it's harder and harder to put new things in there. So they work on better cameras, better speeds, better screens, but they really don't have enormous leaps forward like they used to. Look at a mature device like a refrigerator. You know, when's the last time you bought a new one? You'll go 10 years without buying a new fridge because they've reached stasis. They've reached the ultimate incarnation of what refrigerators are, and I sort of feel like the phones are getting there.
But I wonder, though, like if I go out to the store and I want to buy a new refrigerator, my mindset is still, I want to buy something that's going to keep my stuff cold, and that's it. But with a new phone, I'm like, man, I want something that's going to blow me away, and I don't know, like, for phone makers, what that is anymore, and is that why we're seeing, I don't know, stuff like holographs in your phone, or it'll scan your retina to allow you to sign into your phone, because they're trying to get that technology that wows people.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, the whole business model is you need to feel that your phone is behind the times once a year so that you'll upgrade. I mean, that's how it works. I don't know if you wanted to get into this next topic, but starting next year, all of these phone companies are going to be making a new pitch to you, which is 5G, that is the fifth generation cellular networks, which are opening up in big cities this year. And the first 5G phones will be available next year. And what they will offer is unbelievable speed. I mean, speed that makes your internet at home or even at work look pathetic. You'll want to leave the office to download big things. We're talking about 20 times faster in big cities, maybe 8 times faster in rural areas. But, of course, you need a new phone to get it.
I'm also wondering, too, it seems that, when I go out and maybe about a year and a half ago, I had to buy a new laptop. And my mindset was like, okay, I can spend a little bit more on this because it's a laptop and I'm going to be using this a lot. And this is a major purchase. But like when it comes out, when I need to go buy a new cell phone, I'm like, oh, you want more than $200? I don't know about that. But I know that like in deep down, I'm going to be using the cell phone a lot more. So I'm wondering, too, if you've seen consumers' attitudes towards value, towards the value we assign to our phones kind of change over time as we've become more reliant on them.
Well, that is the elephant in the room, really. That is how we all justify paying $1,000 for a high-end phone, is because what object in your life do you use more often? It's not your bed. It's not your car. It's your phone. I mean, you are on that thing on average 120 times a day. So, I mean, that rationalization works for me. That's why I do it. I mean, it is the single most used object I own. Why shouldn't that be my investment?
I'm also wondering, too, as companies try to figure out, you know, the next big feature, some companies have been criticized for taking things away. I know people were sort of skeptical when the new iPhones came out because they were taking away the headphone jack. And I'm wondering, does sometimes with these phones, innovation come at the cost of taking away some things that people love?
For sure, especially with Apple. That's Apple's almost proud of telling their consumers they're idiots for liking a certain feature. I mean, Apple is the number one electronics company for introducing new standards. They introduced Wi-Fi. They introduced the CD-ROM. They introduced the mouse, not invented, but popularized. But they're also the number one company in taking things away, having introduced them. I mean, they took away the hard drives from our laptops. They took away the headphone jack from our phone. And it's not always necessary. I do understand their thinking on the headphone jack, because on the interior of the phone, that 40-year-old component took up about an inch of space that they could use for a bigger battery or better camera equipment. But somehow Samsung managed to keep it in for the next round, so I don't know.
And David, as we start to wrap up here, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you to speculate just a little bit here today. September is right around the corner, traditionally the month where Apple drops a little bit of a hint about what's coming with the new iPhone and then releases it shortly after. What can consumers possibly expect from the next generation of more expensive iPhones?
Well, the strong leaks out of China are that there will be three new iPhone models the second week of September. There will be a really big one, bigger than anyone's ever seen before, 6.5 inches. This will be like holding a VHS cassette in your hand for like $1,100, $1,200 with three lenses on the back, one of which can do a 5X zoom for your pictures. Then there will be a small iPhone X-sized version, also fancy with a fancy OLED screen. And then there will be a budget model with an intermediate size, 6.1 inches, with an older style LCD screen. All of these will be designed like the current iPhone X. That is, the home button is gone. Now you will swipe up from the bottom of the screen instead of clicking a button. That lets them fit more screen onto a smaller phone, smaller being relative.
And we're going to have to leave it there. David, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
David Pogue is a tech columnist for Yahoo Finance. You may also recognize him from his appearances on PBS and CBS Sunday Morning. He joined us to talk about the price of smartphones and how much consumers expect to pay these days. And he was also giving us a preview there of the iPhones that are going to be coming out next month.